Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good!
Toyland. Toyland.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory.
Hello and welcome to Fire and Water Presents, and the fifth installment of Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys, or Those Wonderful Toys for short. I'm your host, Chris Franklin. Today, in honor of the Halloween season and the House of Frankenstein series over at one of my other shows, Supermates, we're going to talk about monsters. And not just any monsters, the classic, iconic monsters from Universal Studios. For the past 4 years, my wife Cindy and I have covered many Universal films in our horror film miniseries each September and October. To say I have a fondness for the Universal originals is a gross understatement. One of the best lines of toys made of the monsters came from Remco in 1981, a sister line to a set of larger 9-inch figures. The mini monsters were 3 3/4 inches and produced in the style of Kenner's mega popular Star Wars line of action figures. I never owned any of these toys as a kid, but I did play with them and have fond memories. I've told this story many times before, but it bears repeating. When I was 3 or 4, my grandfather came over to watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein at our house. My papa was a huge Abbott and Costello fan, and his TV was at the repair shop. Yes, kids, back then, you took your TV to more or less a mechanic, just like your car. You didn't just go out to Walmart and buy a new one. TVs were just as expensive then as they are now, and that money didn't go nearly as far. If you've ever seen this classic film, if you haven't, why are you listening to this? Go watch it. Lon Chaney Jr. changes into the Wolfman in the first 5 minutes.
Hello? Do you have 2 crates addressed to the McDougal House of Horrors?
What's the number of the checks?
Oh, never mind that. Tonight the moon will be full here. I haven't much time. Now listen closely. I'm flying out of here at dawn. Under no circumstances are you to deliver those crates until I arrive. Understand?
Mr. McDougal, will you stop gargling your throat?
That scene sent me into hysterics. I literally had a nervous breakdown, and my parents had to turn it off, and Papa went home. I was a big weenie when I was a kid, but I still held a morbid fascination with these monsters. I wanted to go into their dark, sinister world, but as soon as I got one foot in, I bolted away. I had a Treasury comic that featured Spider-Man teaming up with some weird heroes, including Werewolf by Night. Rob has covered this over on Treasury Cast. I begged my mom to buy it, and then asked her to promptly throw it away. It was too much for me. When I saw the larger Remco 9-inch monster figures at my local Dollar General perched above me, ready to spring upon me, it was a definite pass. The painted box art was just too much. The mini monsters that followed the next year were on cards with huge close-up photos of the monsters from the actual films. The tiny figures almost seemed an afterthought, but it was a startling image. They were the same size as my Mego pocket superheroes. Maybe I could deal with them if my heroes were there to defeat them. I still didn't bite. But I stared at them each time we were in Dollar General. Why did I keep seeing them there? I think it was because Remco had been bought by rack toy giant AHI in the previous decade, and AHI had a good relationship with the cheapo stores. More on them later. I finally got to play with the monsters when my friend up the street got a set of 3 figures and the playset for Christmas from Sears that year. He got the Wolfman, Frankenstein's Monster, and the Phantom. Neither of us really knew much about the Phantom, so he subbed as Dracula. Greedo from Star Wars also filled in for the creature. The monsters fought the pocket heroes, Luke and Han, Bo and Luke Duke, G.I. Joe, you name it. If they were in that scale, we mixed them together. And slowly, I got over my hang-up with these guys and fully embraced the burgeoning monster kid I had so often denied. Let's talk a bit about the line's history. In the mid-70s, Mego, master of the 8-inch action figure, had pursued the Universal Monster line, but found it too expensive. They went the cheap route and produced public domain versions of the characters as their Mad Monsters line, adjacent to their best-selling World's Greatest Superhero series. Rack toy rival Azark Hamway International, or AHI, saw a chance to trump their old rival and produce their own series of 8-inch Mego-like action figures, but this time, they got the Universal license. Tricky AHI even issued the figures of Frankenstein's Monster, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon on cards very similar to Mego's and called their line World Famous Super Monsters. Sneaky. AHI bought venerable toy company Remco at some point in the 70s and revived the license in 1980 for their official Universal Studios 9-inch Monsters. The line featured a unique grabbing feature you could activate with a button and glow-in-the-dark hands and faces. The series initially consisted of Dracula, Frankenstein's Monster, the Wolfman, and the Mummy, as well as a Monsterizer playset. This looked like something from Dr. Frankenstein's lab, and its battery-powered lights could charge up the glow features on your monster toys. The following year, Remco added the Creature from the Black Lagoon and the Phantom of the Opera to the line, and expanded it with the Mini Monsters. Called Official Universal Studios 3¾-inch Mini Monsters in Remco's 1981 catalog, the line consisted of the same six monsters as seen in the 9-inch line, plus a smaller version of the Monsterizer and a unique Haunted House playset carrying case. The figures were altered in the run to have glow-in-the-dark features. Most had face and hands that glowed, while the Mummy and the Gill Man glowed all over. The cardbacks had huge close-up photos, like I mentioned before, with the Halloween-y orange text very minimal in the lower left-hand corner. When the glow features were added, the cards were modified, including the final version with a neat comic book-like starburst behind each figure. There was no overall logo for the line, with the cards just reading Universal City Studios and then the monster's name. Let's take a look at the figures one by one, going in chronological film order, shall we? The Phantom of the Opera is based on the portrayal of Lon Chaney from the original 1925 silent classic. The Phantom's car design is striking and shows a huge upshot of Eric, the deformed Phantom. You're looking right up that nose that he had all pulled back, and it's just still amazing to think that man put his face through all that. Ugh. The sculpting and paint apps on these figures are fantastic, and I would say ahead of most of the output of Kenner and Mego at the time. The Phantom has his greasy hair falling over to one side, shadowed eye sockets, and his chin drawn into his neck like many photos of Chaney that you see. He sports a black tux with red vest and tie, and a snazzy vinyl black cape, which is more of a cloak that goes around his arms, like the Star Wars capes that were found on Darth Vader, Obi-Wan, and other figures.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
Dracula is based on a 1931 original starring Bela Lugosi, but the card photo is of Bela from 17 years later in 1948's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It was often odd to see Lugosi's image on licensed Universal product, as his estate and lawyer son proved somewhat difficult to work with, at least to Universal's notion. Even odder, the designers gave Dracula fangs on the card and figure, something Lugosi never had. The Dracula likeness is a little less Lugosi, but still says classic Dracula. He does have fangs and blood dripping from his mouth, which is more of a Christopher Lee thing. He has a high-collared cape like the Phantom, but with a red interior, again like Lee. Lugosi's was actually usually white or gold inside. He sports a black tux, of course, with white shirt, tie, and vest, and his trademark yellow medallion. One odd thing about the Phantom and Dracula are that their hands rest at their sides palm out, which makes them look like they are just throwing their hands up in disgust when you raise their arms. Not sure why they went with that look for them, especially when Lugosi had those famous claw-like hands. But Phantom and Dracula seem to share the same arms and legs, so you can't really blame them for taking a few cost-cutting measures.
For one who has not lived even a single lifetime, you are a wise man.
Frankenstein's monster was just called Frankenstein on the card art, but we'll forgive them. That's a common mistake. The large photo of Boris Karloff shows that this figure is based more on the 1935 Bride of Frankenstein version, with its burned scars and less hair than the 1931 original.
You make man like me? Yes, I want friend like me.
The Karloff likeness is spot on with this figure. The sleepy-eyed pathos of the monster is captured surprisingly well. He has a pale green complexion, but then so do the Phantom and Dracula. Of course, he has his silver bolts and head staples, along with a red scar on his forehead. Unlike many modern toys, this Frankie is in the proper ill-fitting black jacket and pants, with large black boots and a stylish green sweater underneath. The Mummy is again based on Boris Karloff's Imhotep character from the 1932 original, not the later Khoris played by Lon Chaney, who was the Mummy licensed more in the 60s, especially by Aurora on their model kits. Oddly, the card back shows a photo of Karloff as Imhotep in his less wrinkly Ardeth Bay disguise, which he appears in for about 95% of that film. The Mummy has the least paint apps of any of the figures, with only black lines around the eyes and mouth to highlight the nice Karloff sculpt, but it works. The textured bandages are very well sculpted on the figure, as is the wrinkly head. I prefer the original non-glow beige version. It just looks more authentic.
Baylor the Gypsy was a werewolf. I killed him with that silver cane. I was bitten. Look, the pentagram.
That scar could be made by most any animal.
Yes, but it's the sign of the werewolf. They say that he can see it in the palm of the hand of his next victim.
That's hard to believe.
The Wolfman figure seems to be based more on the original makeup from the first film in 1941, although the card art shows a portrait of Lon Chaney Jr. from Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. The Wolfman has the most unique body sculpt in the line, whereas all the other figures are in a very stiff standing pose. The Wolfman is in a crouched, skulking pose. His wolf-like feet are also arched, as we saw clearly in the first film. He's got clawed hands and sports an olive-green shirt and pants combo that kind of makes him look like he's wearing the overalls my uncle was always sporting. My one gripe about the figure is the face. He has a pale face surrounded by brown fur. This makes Larry look like he's just some angry Amish guy, not a lycanthrope. Actual color photos from House of Dracula's production show that Chaney had brown makeup all over his face. His dog-like snout on the figure isn't painted, so it looks like he just has a normal nose. This makes sense for the glow version, but not for the original. The Creature from the Black Lagoon is based thankfully on the 1954 film, and not the bug-eyed version from the sequels. The photo of the creature on the card is also from that film, and I'm assuming that it's the land creature actor Ben Chapman under the mask. The sculpting detail on this figure is exceptional. Every scale and ridge is there, although it does get lost in the medium green of the original, and especially the yellow green of the glow version. The oversized scalloped and clawed feet and hands are very well represented. The Gill Man has only two paint colors, red for his pupils and mouth, and white for his irises and teeth. His teeth? The creature has teeth? Since when? Either way, it still looks great. He's even got the fin ridged up his back. I unfortunately don't own the Monsterizer. It was essentially Frankenstein's lab table, where you would slide your monster through an arched gate-like cover while the lights powered up the glow features. It's similar to an apparatus seen in one of the Universal films. I think it's House of Frankenstein, but having covered most of them by now, they're all kind of blurring together. But I think it's from House of Frankenstein. Thanks to my lovely wife, Cindy, who gifted me almost all of my Remco Mini Monsters, I do have that wonderful playset in my collection. Universal City Studios' Mini Monster Play Case, as it's called on the package, is one of the last hurrahs for the old vinyl-covered cardboard playsets. Kenner had shown that all plastic playsets could be done, and Mattel was about to up their game with the Masters of the Universe Castle Grayskull, the greatest toy playset of all time. Well, there's the Superpowers Hollow Justice. It's one or the other. Anyway, the front of the playset features the front roof of the house, and the front panel is a photo of all six monsters chilling in their pad. Glow-in-the-dark features were added during the run, and mine has the blurb advertising this. Before we open the case, let's discuss the exterior. The left-hand side of the case shows the old weathered shingled wall, but toward the bottom is an illustration of a wooden barrel with a Gillman-like creature peering out. On the right side, we have a tombstone with R.I.P. Baron, it looks like. Baron Frankenstein? Baron Meister from Brides of Dracula? That was released by Universal. Who knows? The back is an illustration of the house complete with spooky tree, broken windows, most of which don't correspond to the interior of the house, and a working door that does work with the inside of the playset. Opening the case, we now see a lone light in the attic and an old trunk with some kind of creature lifting the lid, peering out with red eyes. Downstairs, we have the actual play environment. It is a lab with shelves and tables printed on the back wall. A glow-in-the-dark skull is pasted over the existing cardboard and vinyl to accommodate that new glow-in-the-dark feature. Creepy eyes peers from the door's peephole and a barred vent below. Along one wall is a drawing of an out-of-scale skeleton. On the other is a broom for a witch figure they didn't make, an axe, and a sword. Maybe the monsters just like to tidy up. I don't know. The door from the outside opens in, and there is a paperboard stoop made to look rickety and wooden. My playset is actually missing this, unfortunately. The floor of the play case is black vacuum-formed plastic made to look like stone. There's a rotating paperboard lab table for Frankenstein's monster, complete with a control panel sticker. An in-floor tomb with a sarcophagus lid for the mummy, complete with added glow face, and a recessed cage with paperboard lid for the creature. Since Dracula is more iconic than the mummy, I always wonder why he didn't get a coffin. But hey, there's only so much room. I guess you could lock the Wolfman up in that cage too, but it's similar to the Gillman's bamboo cage from the first film. By even the standards of the day, this is a very simple, cheap playset. Its graphics are a throwback to the monster toys of the 60s, and that's why I love it so much. It perfectly captures that spooky innocence that Halloween used to have. Sure, these monsters killed people, but you didn't see them ripping out eating entrails either. There have been many other monster lines in this vein. Get it? Burger King released the single greatest kids' meal promotion in the mid-90s, don't argue with me, with their figures of Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, the Wolfman, and the creature. They are a bit larger than these, but they are fantastic toys, and better than any kids' meal toy has a right to be.
Kids, come meet your new sitter. Looks like a good time to check out Burger King. Yeah! Nice costume.
I'm so scared.
Universal Studios monsters are on the loose. You can get one toy and glow-in-the-dark sticker inside every Kids Club meal at Burger King.
Wow, really nice costume.
Burger King Kids Club. Great food, cool stuff, kids only.
I have a set of those around here somewhere, but my son Andrew took off with them years ago, and it's hard to tell where they're at now. Funko unleashed a metric ton of reaction figures on the world a few years back, including a Universal Monsters series. The Remco gang was all here, along with the Invisible Man and the Bride of Frankenstein, two figures I'm sure kids would have dug back in 1981. The aesthetic is very similar to Remco's, although I think the originals still outshine most of these. I do prefer their Wolfman, however, for the reasons I mentioned before. He is kind of standing up straight in the reaction version, though. That's the only downside. So, that will do it for this wonderful toys. For more on AHI's and Remco's monster lines, I would recommend you go to my pal Brian Heiler's PlaidStallions.com website. Brian has tons of Halloweeny goodness there, and he adds to it every year, including detailed history pages on these toy lines. Be sure to check out all the spooky goings-on over at our House of Frankenstein series on Supermates. We covered the original Creature from the Black Lagoon and House of Dracula this year, so plenty of Universal love going around. Also, check out all our fine shows on the network.
Go quickly. Go!
Yes! Yes, I'm going!
Everyone have a safe and happy Halloween, and please, put away your toys when you're done, okay?
Cute little dropout.